What's up with psychology, parents, and your upbringing? There's a lot of talk about childhood trauma and how the relationship with your parents impacts how we see relationship with adults as adults. But what does that really mean? It all sounds very vague. And at the first glance, many people will say, well, my relationships right now resemble nothing the relationship I had with my parents, and I have tried my best to avoid acting like my parents in relationships. So, what does that really mean? Like, what does it mean to have, in a way, the way you do relationships today predetermined by how your parents raised you? So, one theory that's been verified with results that fall under umbrella of things that follow the scientific method, meaning they are things that can be verified and reproduced, and we can predict behaviors, we can predict future behaviors based on present and past behaviors. So this is the I'm talking about the attachment theory. I'm talking about attachment styles. And if you heard about it, keep listening because I'm going to go more in depth about it. And if you haven't, I'm going to explain. So attachment styles are basically something that describes the way our brain was wired when it comes to relationships. So we all heard that notion that the more we use something, that part of us in our brain gets strengthened. As the power of habit and the power of repetition and the power of emotion. Emotion really makes changes in the brain, even structurally. And with attachment styles, it's even more powerful because what determines the attachment style in our adult years is what happens to our brains and to our psyches when we are the easiest to shape, when we are really young. So, an attachment style is a pattern of behavior of how we connect to others and how we connect to ourselves. And it's not only a pattern of behavior, it's actually a pattern of attraction. It determines our attraction. It determines the way we see others in sense of whether you are safe or not, or what conditions other people have to follow to be considered safe. And you're going to see that with certain attachment styles, there are four attachment styles, it's all very predictable. Like, if you have a certain attachment style and you are falling under that umbrella, for everyone who is under that attachment style, is the same conditions of safety. And I'm going to explain that later on. And it's also an attachment to yourself, meaning, what do you think about yourself? And now I'm going to explain. So attachments forms attachment, obviously, the name forms to repeated patterns of interactions with your parents or caregivers. So basically, the relationship you have with your parents tells you about yourself and about the world. If a parent is consistent, meaning they take care of you both physically, they fulfill your physical and emotional needs, what happens is you learn early on that the world is a good place, your needs are getting met, and that you are a good person. That's very important because not only you learn about the world, but you learn about yourself. If your needs are getting met, but not on a consistent basis, and you have to make a lot of fuss to get attention from your caregivers or parents, then you learn there's something wrong with you because you have to really ask, you have to beg for your parents' attention. And what happens is you learn early on that it's you to blame for not receiving what your parents should have freely given to you. And these kids usually end up growing to be very needy adults. Because what happens is They are naturally attracted to people who keep them as distant. Remember, as parents, they're not as present, or they are present but inconsistently. And they feel very comfortable with the idea of being surrounded by people that tell them that they have to work for love, just as they had to make a lot of fuss as toddlers to get their needs met. And this is the surface level resemblance between what happened in the past and what's happening right now. And then we have parents who are really unavailable. We have parents who simply aren't there most of the time, who maybe they're able to fulfill your physical needs, but they are not able to be there for you emotionally. And what happens is at some point, the toddler stops trying. The toddler learns that the other person is not safe. And the only sense of safety that they can reach is within themselves. As adults, they are the type of people who have difficulty opening up to others. They have difficulty saying, I love you. They have difficulty saying they want to commit to a relationship. And the reason for that is that they internalize early on that the other person is not a source of safety. It's not a source of soothing. And they learn that intimacy and relying, they value very much independence. And relying on the other person is actually a source of danger. And I want to mention is that these beliefs are encoded deeply in our psyche and in our nervous system. So even if someone does become aware of this, and they read about attachment theory and so on, it takes a lot of work on a relational level, meaning with a coach or with a therapist, or even better if they have individual work with an expert and then they do group work. Because what happens is you have to retrain your nervous system and your psyche, because these reactions are like an instinct. You can learn about them, and it's the first step, and it's very important to learn about them because then you know what to do. But you have to be in a relationship. And when you're getting triggered, for example, with someone with an avoidant attachment, what happens is the other person, if they get too close, they deactivate. And there's also the concept of activation and deactivation, and I'm going to explain more later. But with an avoidant attachment, when they deactivate, they even lose attraction. And that's something that happens on a deep, visceral level. You can't talk your way out of it. When the other person comes too close, they might lose attraction, they lose connection. It's basically their defense mechanism that tells them that if, much like their caregiver, the other person comes too close, they are in danger. So the psyche comes and cuts it off and says, no, you're no longer attracted to that person. And it does it as a way to self-protect. So all of this healing has to be done in a relationship. It has to be done with other people. You have to learn how to be vulnerable around safe people. That's very, very important. And lastly, we do still have one more attachment style, is the disorganized attachment. So if the anxious attachment, they are too needy, and if the avoidant attachment, they're too independent in the sense that they can't commit to someone, they have a difficulty experiencing intimacy without shutting down. Well, the disorganized is a combination between the two, meaning they have a disorganized reaction to intimacy. They don't know how to handle it. And usually this happens when a caregiver or a parent, not only that's very inconsistent, but they are dangerous. It could be addiction that's in the family. It could be maybe a mental illness. It could even be depression. But when the child feels that the other person is not a source of safety at all, they become disorganized in the sense that they don't even know what to ask from the other person. They want the connection, hence the anxiety. But the moment the connection comes towards them, they get avoidant. Because in the past, they experienced fear around their caregivers. So they oscillate. They have a really, in the beginning of the relationship, they attach really quickly. They're very present. They're full of emotion. And the moment someone gets close to them, they deactivate and then they become avoidant. And there is this cycle between activation, becoming again like the anxious, and deactivation. Again, these are nervous system defense mechanisms that take time to unlearn, and you unlearn them obviously with knowledge. Awareness helps, because without awareness you can start working on a problem that you don't know you have. But it's also, again, I'm going to repeat myself, all it's done in a relationship setting. So you have to learn how to do this with people, and you have to start recognizing, oh, I'm deactivating, or oh, I'm getting too needy. Oh, is this a normal reaction? Is this, and you can also learn about your attraction patterns, because insecure attachments, what happens to them is that they often get attracted to other people with insecure attachment because there's these wounds that match. For example, if you have an unhealed anxious attachment, you may suffer for the rest of your life in relationships, because you're going to be always attracted to people who are unavailable. You're going to be always the person who does the work. You're going to be always the person who is upset the other person is not listening. You will feel uncared of. You will always be attracted to people who you have to prove yourself to win their love. And when healing that anxious attachment, not only that you're not going to have the impulse to prove others that you need to prove others that you are lovable, because you're going to believe you are lovable without needing approval from outside, but your attraction will change. You're going to get turned off, not attracted by people who are belittling you, by people who are showing you the cold shoulder, by people who basically show you that they're not capable of love. And it's really nothing personal. They will do the same to everyone. And with avoidant attachment, it's really heartbreaking when... So the avoidant attachment is often demonized, but what happens is it's sort of really a tragedy around it, because they have a really hard time accessing their emotions. So they might not feel the falling in love as someone who is secure, anxious, or even disorganized, because the disorganized has access to the anxious part and therefore to emotion. They are sort of cut off, they lose attraction easily, and I've worked with people who really want to work on their relationships, but they deactivate continuously. So there are people who love their partners, but they find intimacy so excruciating, and they're constantly deactivating, and they're constantly not in touch with their feelings, and it's really a tragedy unless you work on it. And it's really worth working on it. It's worth, for an avoidant, I suppose the biggest challenge is allowing the other person to show them that it's a safe thing to be yourself, to be vulnerable. And imagine how lonely it is to be in a relationship where you don't trust the other person with your needs, with sharing your dreams, or if you trust them, it's all kind of limited, and then you trust them, and then you don't trust them, and then you feel like you're in love, and then you feel like you don't, it's like it's a constant suffering if you really want that relationship. Of course, there are many avoidants who can't commit at all and who don't even get to the point where they think, well, I need some help in this area. Because there are many avoidants who, in a way, overindulge in the idea of not getting involved with anyone. They are so scared of any type of attachment that all of their relationships are attachment free. And these are the people who are basically jumping from one situationship to another. A disorganized attachment, I would say, I mean, you experience suffering with all of them, except with the secure one. With this disorganized attachment, I would say it's even more turmoil, because I would say all of them have trauma in the past, but I don't want to give estimates, but I would say that with the disorganized, you have the highest amount of trauma, because usually when a parent is inflicting fear on their kids, it's a way more unsafe environment. So for them is disorganized attachment, they sabotage relationships. They fall in love hard, they get scared, they break up. And the moment they break up, they miss the other person. Because once the person is away, they get activated again into their past, into their previous anxious state. And then they really want the other person. They might get together with the person again and they get deactivated and then the cycle continues. Obviously, you can't do this too many times with one person because the other person is going to find you unreliable and they're going to leave you. So it's pretty suffering inducing, I would say. And with the disorganized attachment, usually what happens is first you have to work on the anxious side, and then you have to work on the avoidance side. So first you work on becoming less needy in the beginning of a relationship and gaining more self-autonomy, and then you work on the fear of vulnerability. What's really unique about the disorganized attachment, I would say, is the propensity of a phantom ex. I mean, the phantom ex can happen in all insecure attachments, but I think it's more common in the disorganized one. I'm going to explain what a phantom ex is. The phantom ex is basically being perpetually in love with an ex that you no longer have, and making it seem like it was your destiny to be with that person, and that's the person that got away. And it feels very real, like it's like a deep longing and attraction. But guess what? 9 out of 10, it's a illusion. Because what happens is, when you have someone like that in your mind, you are satisfying your need for intimacy without the danger of receiving intimacy. So basically, it's very safe to be in love with a memory, because the memory and all the scenarios you make in your head, they're really easy to manipulate. They're harmless. And oftentimes, having that phantom ex, especially when being in a new relationship, it's a deactivation method, meaning you run away from your current partner because of the threat of intimacy. You are threatened by the idea of getting too attached to them, so you attach to an ex. So another reason why healing your attachment style, even though it's not a personality disorder, it's not something considered like super serious, I do think it's super serious, is that it just causes a lot of suffering. And honestly, relationships are one of the most important factor when it comes to our overall happiness. And why not learn how to have good relationships? Why not learn how to be satisfied? Why not being able to give and receive love? Why not being comfortable around good people instead of trying to win bad people over? Well, obviously, I'm not saying that if you have a secure attachment, it's all going to be roses and flowers all the time. But the amount of suffering that you receive in a relationship is greatly reduced. Actually, love as a secure attachment, it's not suffering. Because the moment it's suffering, it's no longer love. People suffer in relationships when there is lack of intimacy. One person can't connect, the other person is connected to an illusion. And it's just, you know, it's something worth exploring and worth healing, because it's going to heal your attraction. And perhaps more importantly, it's going to give you discernment. You're not going to be carried away by your wounds anymore. You're not going to be carried away by the fact that your fears of intimacy is going to push you into staying in love with an illusion. You're going to be in control. And in a way, by achieving the secure attachment, which is able to receive and give intimacy and is happy with themselves and don't go for emotionally unavailable people, by doing that, you are being the truest version of yourself. Because when you are being run by these insecurities, you're just being tricked by your psyche. For example, someone with an anxious attachment, they often find people attractive just because they treat them poorly. Like, there is no other reason that's more attracted to them other than the fact that they keep them poorly, they don't answer their phones, they're showing intermittent signs of affection. Now they're in, now they're out, now they're super, super affectionate. 2 days later, they stop picking up your calls. And that drives them crazy. Someone with a secure attachment would be turned off by that. It was like, yeah, I don't deserve that. That's terrible. This person is a terrible person. They spent this beautiful time with me and we had so much fun. Now they're acting like they don't know me. That's horrible. I don't want to see you again. But someone with an anxious attachment, they get riled up. They double down on making this person love them because they don't love themselves. And they don't even see the other person for what they are. They just put them on the pedestal. Yeah, well, this person is so great. And if I want to feel great about myself, I have to make this person that is so great love me. So you see, working with attachment styles, knowing your attachment style can really, in a way, not to be too dramatic, save your life, or at least save your love life, which as a consequence is going to make you happier in all aspects of your life. Or at least that's my experience. Okay, thank you for listening. And if you're interested in learning more about attraction, learning more about attachment styles, and all of the things you need to know to achieve, just happiness in relationships and be true to yourself, keep scrolling to my social media accounts and you'll find more content like this.